Perfect. All right. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, and apparently Bubba, because this is turning into a habit, we get together, we have some coffee, we get into God's word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it from the book of
Acts to Philemon.
You're right. Yeah.
Philemon.
Yeah, it's not like Philemon's house, but it is a letter to Philemon. All right, why don't we have some coffee and we'll pray. You know, I just got to say, I kind of like it turning into a habit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that we would desire your word. And that as we read your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts in such a way that we would understand and believe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are at Galatians chapter 4. Might help if I put on my old man eyes. Galatians chapter 4.
Well, you should put on your new old man
eyes. My new old man eyes? What's that mean?
It's better than your normal eyes. Because if you put on your old eyes, then it's just getting more.
Oh, okay. Well, we're at Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. And we'll go through the end of the chapter. Here we go. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolation has many more children. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac, was our children of promise. But as we who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the sons of the free women.
Okay. All right. So,
I didn't read.
Oh, that. 31. Yeah, sorry.
So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Okay, so we need to ask ourselves, A, what is this?
About? What's the summarize?
Mm-hmm.
C, what are we called to do?
That's right, what are we called to do? All right, so first, A, what is this about? Well, to understand this, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Do you remember the story about Sarah and Hagar?
Yep.
And Abraham had a wife, and her name was?
Sarah,
that's right. And God had appeared to Sarah, and he had come to their tent and said that she was going to have a baby. And what did she do?
She
laughed, right? And
I could see Mrs. Smith doing that.
Yeah. How could I have a baby, right? So it was by supernatural means, by a promise, right? But before that, they hadn't trusted God's promise, and they thought that they would do it themselves. And so Sarah gave Abraham her slave woman. And what did Abraham do with the slave woman?
He had a baby with her.
Yeah, he had a baby with her. Do you know the name of that baby?
Hagar.
Nope. Hagar was a slave woman. It was Ishmael. Yeah, Ishmael. And so there's two different ladies, two different children. When Ishmael grew up, he would taunt Isaac, the baby from the promise, the baby that God gave miraculously to Sarah. And so here, this is Paul using what's called an allegorical interpretation. Have you ever heard of an allegory?
Yes.
Yeah, what is an allegory?
It's using something to tell a story or using something to describe something, but it isn't.
Yeah, so like a really common example would be something like the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
In the Chronicles of Narnia, who is Aslan supposed to be?
Jess.
Yeah, right? He's supposed to be Jesus, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, right? Who's the White Witch?
Satan.
Right? So you're kind of able to tell, right? Yeah. And so this is the allegorical interpretation of that passage. Right? We don't often do this with the Bible, but I think every once in a while it's acceptable. And here, Paul does it. Right? He says, the woman of the promise, who's that?
Sarah.
Is better than the woman of works. And who is that?
Hagar.
And he says, Hagar is like one covenant, right? A covenant of works, where they try to do it all by themselves. And does this end well for Hagar and Ishmael and Abraham?
Nope.
No, he has to send them away. He says, that's like what it is with Mount Sinai and the earthly Jerusalem. Right? Yeah. Trying to accomplish all the works.
I forget what, I think it is Mount Sinai. Oh, someplace actually, the most, like, I think it's 90% of the country is traced back to Hagar.
Well, yeah, so there's a lot of people in the Middle East who are traced back to Ishmael. That's right. That's how God even promises that Ishmael will become a different nation.
Yeah.
Right. But when it comes to that, what happened at Mount Sinai? What did God give?
The Ten Commandments.
He gave the Ten Commandments, but he also gave the rest of the law as well. Right. So he gives the Ten Commandments as a summary of the moral law. Right. Are the Ten Commandments evil?
No.
No,
and
did they?
In and of themselves.
Yeah, in and of themselves, they're not evil at all, right? Do they tell us about who God is?
Yep.
Do they tell us about what God loves and hates?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us what we love and hate and what we should love and hate.
Yeah, right. So it tells us all this, but the problem is that some people would take this and say, oh, this is just like the covenant of works.
We have to just do it all.
Exactly. So we try to accomplish all of it by our own works.
Yeah, that's pretty much impossible.
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible. But Sarah, what's the difference between... What does Sarah represent? Does she represent Mount Sinai or a different mountain?
Jerusalem.
The earthly Jerusalem?
No.
Which Jerusalem?
Heavenly one.
The heavenly Jerusalem. That's right. And so the Holy Spirit is telling us here that she's a better covenant. She shows us that even better results come, even better promises come, a better kingdom, more offspring. All the blessings come. Is it by works or by faith? By faith. Right? Not according to the covenant like Hagar and Ishmael and trying to accomplish the promises by your own works, but by something that could only happen
God's help.
Not just by God's help, by God's doing. Right. Could Sarah have a baby by herself?
No.
No, it says that she was as good as dead, is what the Bible says. Right. Could you imagine Mrs. Baird having a baby?
I think it'd be more like Miss Harriet Ann.
Yeah, it's an older woman having a baby. Like, hold on, that doesn't happen. That happens to the young ladies,
yeah.
Right? And so, hold on, that's not going to normally happen.
Yeah.
And so, it's got to be God who does that,
yeah.
Right? So it's this promise, it's this miraculous work that only God could do. So what does that teach us about our salvation? Whose children are we?
If we believe in God and have faith that God is going to do it, we're Sarah. But if we
think we're what?
We're of the more Sarahs.
Yeah, we're offspring of Abraham, right? By Sarah. Good.
But if We think we can just do it all by ourselves. We don't need anyone's help. We can just keep the law perfectly.
That's right. We're children of Hagar. Now, Paul is saying here in that church, should they be surprised that the children of Hagar would persecute the children of Sarah?
Nope.
No, because it happened then, right? Yeah. So he says, of course the Judaizers are going to try to beat down the children of faith. And so don't be surprised when this happens. So in your own words, how would you summarize this section? What's this about?
Let God handle it.
Let God handle it. Yay, that's a good way to put it. I would say there are two covenants, one by faith, one by works. Allegorically, Sarah, heavenly Jerusalem, Hagar, Mount Sinai, works. It's kind of long, though, isn't it?
I think you put like a comma between there.
It's okay. It's just commas and semicolons. I only had one period. It was a long sentence. It's kind of like Paul in the first part of Ephesians.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what would you underline as the best verse?
I think 27.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. You know, I have verse 28 and 31 underlined in my Bible. So what would you guys underline in your Bible? What do you think is the most central passage or central verse that you could pick up your Bible, read the underlined mark, and go, oh, that's the main thing that this passage is about? Let us know down in the comments. Well, last, let's talk about calling. Right? How does this point us to Christ, and how does this call us to live our lives? What do you think?
Not try to keep the law. Well, try to keep the law as best as you possibly can, which isn't the best, but have faith in me.
Yeah, so here, this is gonna be a little bit theological, okay? So we are part of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, right? So we subscribe to Reformed theology, right? And in Reformed theology, we talk about the law, right? And we say that there are three uses for the law, right? The first use of the law is to restrain evil. Right, so the moral law restrains evil in the world. The second use of the law, and we've talked about this a lot, is to convict us of sin. Right? What you're talking about is the third use of the law. The third use of the law isn't to gain our own righteousness, but it's to show us, here is the way that pleases God, the things that he loves, the things that he hates.
So and you can't hurt someone and say, oh, it's okay. Because I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but now we've come into a knowledge of the law of what God loves and hates. And so we endeavor now after new obedience. Is it out of works now?
Nope.
What is the motivation behind why we would endeavor after new obedience? What's the motivation?
Motivation is hard work.
Yeah, it has to be that we love Jesus. And that his spirit is moving us.
Yep.
Right? Because if it's just our own works, then we're back to Hagar.
Yep.
We're back to Ishmael. Right? We always have to fight this in our hearts, right? People, even Christians, get this mixed up, right? Because they start living according to the flesh in their sanctification rather than living by the spirit. We've desperately got to rely on the spirit. Okay. I would say calling. Right, cling to faith, not just your faith, but cling to Christ by faith. Right, walk before the Lord, loving him, trust his promises, be led by the Spirit. Those sound like good applications.
Yep.
Anything else you got for us?
Nope.
No? Okay, I don't either. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the blessing it is to know that you have adopted us as children according to the promise. You have poured out your spirit into our hearts that cries out, Abba, Father. Lord, we thank you that we're not like Ishmael in the desert crying under a tree, forgotten and neglected. But Lord, that you have put your eye upon us. you have poured out your sovereign grace on us, and we are children of the promise. Lord, we pray that we would live by faith and not by sight. We pray that we would be engrafted into Christ, into Israel, the true Israel, Lord, and that you would let us walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you today. May you rejoice in Jesus Christ. May you abide in him and bear much good fruit as you walk by faith. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.